Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about brainwashing America. And that brainwashing begins in our public educational system. Kindergarten through high school, we've already seen the brainwashing and the end results of that in the colleges and the universities in America, where they're putting out educational credentials that's worthless piece of paper and hang on the wall, where they've indoctrinated the students to hate America, to want to tear down and destroy the Constitutional Republic. We've already recognized that, but mostly not recognizing, ladies and gentlemen, it's greatly increased during the past year in particular, under the shroud, under the cloud, under the cover of the brainwashing and the fear tactic for the COVID-19 pandemic, as it is called. But we've not even noticed, for the most part, that brainwashing of our children, our students. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Have you noticed that? Have you read your child's textbooks? Are you concerned about it? What are we to do based on the scripture? God holds the parents responsible, ladies and gentlemen, for teaching our children, our sons and daughters. Not put them in that little yellow school bus and send them off to school and not be concerned about what they're being taught, the brainwashing that's taking place. The scripture is very, very clear in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy what we ought to do as moms and dad and parents. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And it goes on to talk about what we need to do in teaching our sons and daughters. Ladies and gentlemen, it's, God gives us that responsibility. Our children are a blessing from the Lord, a heritage from God, and we need to recognize that. Here's a verse or two, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 8 and 9. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all the law which I have set before thee this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget thine the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. We have the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, especially as Christian parents, to teach our sons and daughters, to educate them, to train them. And I've seen Christian families, Christian parents, for many, many, many years, taking on the responsibility of homeschooling and teaching their children at home. And some parents saying, well, I don't feel I have the qualifications. Ladies and gentlemen, you're as qualified, if not more so, than most of what you find being taught. Now, I'm not saying that in our public school classrooms that all the teachers are bad. They're in a system that will not allow them to academically teach as they should. So I'm saying to parents, do so. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article, how public schools indoctrinate kids without almost anyone noticing. End quote. That's the title. Many people have long suspected that governments sometimes attempt to indoctrinate their people to increase the government's own power and influence. Unfortunately, ambitious governments will not stop at merely controlling what their people can do. They must control their minds. Indoctrination happens through many channels, entertainment, speeches, censorship, but its main instrument is the school system today. Teachers have a captivated audience of malleable young minds for several years. They may not have figured out how to make students smart and productive, but they certainly know how to teach them to be submissive and obedient and to brainwash them. Judging the results and from most people's experience, indoctrination is not only a problem with rogue regimes, but also a distinctly American problem. However, there is difficulty to determine the extent of this indoctrination, how it works, or even how it is carried out. Most Americans might receive a mediocre education, but this education may be so mediocre that the intended brainwashing might not even be as effective as they had thought based on the educational system. Then it goes into great detail about what is indoctrination, how the indoctrination is carried out. But ladies and gentlemen, time won't suffice us to examine that article. It's a wonderful article, about 5 pages of details. But what I'm wanting us to understand today is that our students are being brainwashed academically, brainwashed morally, brainwashed ethically, brainwashed in a racist regime that's designed to divide the United States of America. And part of that is what's called the critical race theory. Critical race theory, by the way, for your edification, was thought up. It was the brainstorm of Karl Marx, and it was a way to divide the people, to divide a nation, so that there could be the captivation of the nation and bring them into communism. Go back and research critical race theory, its origin, Karl Marx's design to divide societies in order to overthrow nations and bring them into communism was the whole point and the purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding today is that on the fast track, our nation's children, ladies and gentlemen, our nation's children have been around for long enough to understand and recognize what is happening. But let me just say this before we take our next caller. There are things that's done and cannot be done in our public educational system. Across America, our children are being brainwashed in the public educational system. Jesus, the Bible, Christianity, prayer is banned, is outlawed in the public classroom. Islam is being taught as being the true religion. Academics are not the focus anymore. Most school districts today, the student can't read, can't write, can't do math, can't properly spell, et cetera, et cetera. But that's okay because that's not the focus anymore on academics. Academics are not the focus. Our school districts and the students cannot read, write, and cannot take a proper exam. Most of them today, ladies and gentlemen, in most school systems are simply passed after they've failed year after year. Then they're finally passed on, and then they're putting the educational system called higher education simply because they're wanting them to get the credential. But ladies and gentlemen, in California school system, teachers aren't allowed to fail any student based on color if they can't read or write, if they can't do math. In fact, 2 and 2 in the public education system in California is not supposed to be rigidly called a number 4. 2 and 2 is not always 4, according to the system there. It cannot always, if you insist that 2 and 2 equals 4, ladies and gentlemen, in the California school system, then that's racist. The critical race theory is the dominant push in our public school system today. Let me read this statement from this brief article, and we'll take our caller. I am a witness to brainwashing in public schools, this article says. According to the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, the VOC, 4th annual report on U.S. attitudes toward socialism, communism, and collectivism, today's youth is quite fond of political economic systems that have resulted in more than 100 million deaths over the past century. At the same time, these misguided youths are increasingly hostile toward the political economic system that has failed countless millions more out of abject poverty over the same period. And it goes on to talk about this, ladies and gentlemen. Here are some of the takeaways that this report gives. 70% of millennials say that they're likely to vote as a socialist. 15% of millennials think the world would be better off if the Soviet Union still existed. About one in five millennials, 22%, believe that society would be better off if all private property were abolished, compared to 1% to the silent generation. 45% of Generation Z and millennials believe that all higher education should be free. One in four Americans, 27%, across every generation have looked at President Donald J. Trump as the biggest threat to world peace, and Kim Jong-un, 22%, Vladimir Putin, 15%. 57% of millennials believe that the Declaration of Independence better guarantees freedom and equality over the Communist Manifesto. only 57%. It goes on to give great detail about that, ladies and gentlemen. Although this may sound hyperbole, I have experienced the misinformation, miseducation firsthand. Long and short, while teaching U.S. history, world history, economics, and American government for 5 long years in a public high school in Chicago suburbs in Bluffington, South Carolina, I was absolutely shocked and dismayed. In both my experiences, the state standards which dictate the curriculum were chock full of pro-socialist, pro-anti-capitalist literature and material. And it goes on to give the examples of that. Ladies and gentlemen, but the major focus that is dividing and destroying our academic system in America today is called the critical race theory. I believe we have Greg on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, critical race theory. When you start looking at a person purely based on the color of their skin and you start identifying whites as being oppressors just in general, that person may have had nothing to do, you know, 6 generations back, that person may have had no contact with anything that was oppressive, slavery or the like. But to identify a person because of the color of their skin being white as an oppressor and a person being black immediately as being oppressed, that is the, it's a type of Marxism. It is a cultural Marxism that starts dividing up groups into the haves and have-nots. However, it's divided purely based upon skin color. Today, under this rescue plan, the $1.9 trillion slush fund, Democrats have chosen to take farmers that happen to be of color and forgive their debts up to 120% of their actual indebtedness. I guess they're going to write them a check back for 20. So if you borrowed a million, I guess you're going to get that wiped out, get 200,000. I don't know what it is, but it's ridiculous because we have chosen based on the color of a person's skin to reward them at the cost to society in general. I guess poor white folks need to pay for rich black farmers. It doesn't make any sense. But on the academics, you talk about Chicago schools. I'll talk about Chicago schools, Detroit schools, Michigan. As you go down the line of Democrat-controlled districts, they intend to keep folks ignorant. When you're ignorant, you can be controlled. There's a soft bigotry of low expectations. When you say because Johnny happens to be black, we shouldn't expect as much of him. That's saying that that person, based on the color of their skin, is incapable of learning. I mean, that's part of the nonsense that falls into evolution. Darwin's evolutionary theory basically was a racist theory. You know, black folks evolved from some other critter. That is so it is so hateful, so divisive, so evil, but we have leftist academia that embraces that. And, you know, if you step back in time a few years ago, a study revealed that 87% of college professors and teachers identified as Democrats or socialists. In the Ivy League schools, 91%. I mean, these leftists have been controlling the academics in this country for decades. And Thomas Sowell once said, the next time some academic tells you how important diversity is, ask how many Republicans are in their sociology department. I mean, that's where we are today. We have a system dominated since 1912, since John Dewey ran the National Education Association. We have a system dominated by leftists, by Democrats, by socialists, employing socialist ideology into academics. It doesn't have anything to do with reading, writing, adding, and subtracting. It has everything to do with programming children to become leftists. In the post-war, the post-Civil War Reconstruction, we had black folks that were formerly slaves that within 2 years had PhD levels of academics behind them. Yes. Can you believe that? However, today we're told we can't do that. We're 150 years in the future, and we're told Johnny can't do that. Johnny can't do that. How in the world can Johnny not do that in the freest, fairest culture in the whole wide world, but former slaves were able to do it in a couple of years? Explain that one to me.
Well, the whole thing is, Greg, and if you will pause for a moment, let's just let our listeners understand this. That should be resented by every person of color in basically saying that you're too dumb to be able to learn. Therefore, 2 and 2 is not 4 for you. It can be an alternative number, and you don't have to understand it because you're of color. That is so demeaning, so unbiblical, unholy, and ungodly, should be rejected by every parent that has a student that's in that public educational system. Greg, I'm looking at an article here. Buffalo School District tells students that all white people play a part in perpetrating the systemic racism in America. subtitle says this is a growing use of the critical race theory of so-called anti-racist curriculum in the U.S. institutions. And it goes on to say the Oregon Department of Education is urging the teachers to take training on how white supremacy culture infiltrates math. Buffalo schools have adopted a curriculum that pushes controversial idea about race, such as that all white people perpetrate the systemic racial system. And it goes on to talk about, the school district's training and curriculum gain renewed attention just this past week. Here's another article that says critical race theory, the new intolerance, and it's gripping all of American and its educational system. It's a 20-page article on that. Here's another one that says, government schools cultivating the stupidest generation ever. Further, the article says, the American schools are cultivating ignorant students, ignorant children. The goal of public education no longer is to teach academics. It is the intolerant student with a radical left-wing agenda. Academic achievement is not required or even desirable in the public educational system today. Goes further to say one example of white supremacy in math is teachers teaching students how to show their work when solving a math problem. Goes on to say, according to the class material, this requirement reinforces worship on the written word as well as parallelism. Students are encouraged to mark TikTok videos rather than bow to the pantheistic idea of writing down things that they don't understand. Put aside ethnics and turning on math as racist subject. Practical questions remain. Why aren't children being taught math in our public school systems today? And the article goes on with massive questions about what's taking place in our school system. And yet, in the school system in California, ethnic studies group, here's the article, says, in California, the ethnic studies curriculum urged students to chant the Aztecs' deity of human sacrifice and cannibalism, calls for counter-genocide against white Christians. And it goes on to talk about that they're allowed to stand up in school and the teachers are training them to chant the Aztec deity of human sacrifice and cannibalism and to stand against white Christians in America. Greg, how do you respond to that as far as the brainwashing that's taking place, the controlling of the minds of the sons and the daughters and the grandkids in the public school system? And what do you say to parents about that?
This sort of thing does not end well. This sort of thing has been seen in culture after culture. You know, the most extraordinary is the Weimar Republic, where folks, you know, were demonized and dehumanized. Before too long, Jews were dragged out the street, beaten by their neighbors, and nobody said a thing because those Jews were so demonized, dehumanized to the point that it was okay. That's why you have leftists today saying, you know, smack a fascist in the face. It's okay. You know, I can show you links to individuals that are leftist today claiming that sort of stuff, but they identify conservatives, they identify Christians, they identify Republicans as fascist, and that's the ideology that it's okay to hit them because they're fascist, they're evil, but they don't understand that they are themselves engaged in fascistic practices when they say those things and do those things. And, you know, we many times when we look at these things, we have to come to a point, to a place where we lay some blame. You have to allocate some blame. You have to decide what side of the fence you're on. You have to decide who you support. And quite frankly, you know, I'm going to go completely polar opposite to what many will say. You know, as much as leftists, you go, they're to blame. No, folks. Christians, we as believers, when you disengage the culture, what do you expect? Evil will have its way. The prince of the power of the air is more than happy to take up the vacuum, to take up the space that you abandon. John Stormer, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. He's a friend of the family. He is an author of multiple books. One of his books, None Dare Call It Education. Look that up today on Facebook I don't recommend Amazon. Go ahead and use eBay, folks. None Dare Call It Education. Go get that book. If you're a friend of mine, if you're in East Tennessee, call me. I'll give you one of those books. But it goes through where essentially Christians abandoned academia in the early 1900s. We had a pure more academically rigorous system in place before public education took over. We have teachers today, somehow or another, they want to be lauded as heroes. You know, you'd be dumb, ignorant people if it weren't for us. I got news for you, folks. Academics in America was better before they laid hands on it, before government controlled it.
Absolutely. Greg, may I slip this little note in for our listeners to understand? Before the U.S. Department of Education, before public education even came into existence, one that had the equivalent of what would be called a fifth-grade education were actively involved in college and university system at the time. In that era, a fourth- and fifth-grade education is equivalent to what you have with a four-year college degree today. That shows how we've declined academically. Here's an article, Greg, that for our listeners need to understand. Brainwashing America's Next Generation. In 1984, George Orwell's famous novel about nightmarish future society, the main character, Winston Smith, runs afoul of the ruling party for insisting that 2 + 2 = 4. Only after being tortured by those in power does he come around and agree that, of course, 2 + 2 = 5. America in 2021 has become Orwell's 1984, and nowhere more than the nation's school system do we see it. For example, they give here in New York City, math education professor Laura Rule claims that the whole nation, 2 + 2 = 4, is one of the one that reeks with white supremacy and patriarchy. How is that remotely possible? As the Brooklyn College professor explained in a tweet, the idea that math or data is critically neutral or in any way objective is a myth. And with the of course, the math is neutral, 2 + 2 = 4 trope are the related and creepy math is pure and protect math reeks with white supremacy, he said. It goes on to talk about in Oregon, the State Department of Education Department promoting a path to math equality intended to train public school teachers how to dismantle racism in mathematics instructions. Quote, we see white supremacy culture show up in the mathematics classroom even as we carry out our professional responsibility, declares the teacher's guide. The concept of mathematics being purely objective is unequivocally false. Upholding the idea that there are always right and wrong answers perpetrated objectively and the fear of white supremacists, end quote. And it goes on and on and on to talk about Rutgers University and so forth of what they're doing with the brainwashing of the students today, calling if you require a student, especially a student of color, if you require that student to learn math and to come up 2 + 2 = 4, then you're a white supremacist and you're teaching racist theory, racist ideology. Greg, would you take a moment, and I know that you can do so, capsulize for our listeners, what is the critical race theory, and what does that do, and how are we finding it in general in America, in American educational system in particular?
Well, two things. First off, what you've just identified is this kind of war on mathematics. Mathematics is kind of the last of the pure sciences. I mean, we've always known clearly 2 + 2 = 4. It's not malleable. It's not fungible. We have definitive science applied to math. And it is, again, one of the last fields, if you will, that it's a pure science. It is being aggressively dismantled by these folks that say you can find racism in that. You know, this is insane. This is insane, folks. This is completely insane. But the cultural Marxism that we identify as critical race theory, or critical race theory identified as cultural Marxism, it is, you know, as Karl Marx said, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. We've said, you know, basically, you know, if you're white, you're guilty. If you're black, you're a victim. And therefore, we need to even the scales out. It's no longer a level playing field of opportunity. We're going to rebalance it so there's not equality, but equity. So, you know, if the billionaire needs to be brought down, and the poor person, no, not the poor person, the black person needs to be brought up. I mean, why not the Chinese that were enslaved? What about the Irish that were enslaved? Right down the list we could go. It's so absurd, but it's part of controlling. This doesn't have to do with making rights making wrongs right. This is controlling people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote on stupidity. This is in his letters and papers from prison. He said, stupidity is a more dangerous enemy of good than malice. One may protest against evil. It may be exposed and, if need be, prevented by use of force. Evil always carries within itself the germ of its own subversion, in that it leaves behind in human beings at least a sense of unease. Against stupidity, we're defenseless. Neither protest for the use of force accomplish anything here. Reasons fall on deaf ears. Facts that contradict one's prejudgment simply need not be believed. Do you hear that? We're getting that in society today. In such moments, the stupid person even becomes critical. And when facts are irrefutable, they are pushed aside as inconsequential, as incidental. In all this, the stupid person, in contrast to the malicious one, is utterly self-satisfied, and being easily irritated becomes dangerous by going on the attack. For that reason, greater caution is called for when dealing with a stupid person than with a malicious one. Never again will we try to persuade the stupid person with reasons, for it is senseless and dangerous. That's a great bit of wisdom right there. And today, we have a group of people leading in this society, leading in this culture, that want to raise up a generation of stupid and malicious people. I hate to say it that way, but this is the absolute truth, people. They're being manipulated. They're being used. Johnny's being told it's okay to be ignorant. It's because of your color. How much more evil and bigoted and controlling and authoritarian can you get than to give such a blatantly false statement to someone to undergird them in their ignorance, to support yes. them in their ignorance.
Absolutely. In fact, we've got about a minute and a half, Greg, but here's an article that says elite K through 8th grade school teacher teaches that white students are born racist, and it goes into great detail of how white students are born racist, and yet the Department of Education, head of the Department of Education that's just been appointed by Joe Biden, is a racist. He is one that pushes the critical race theory. Greg, here's the bottom line. We'll talk about it in the last few minutes before the broadcast is over. In Psalms 127, verse 1 and following, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. Verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And yet we find that parents that allow their students to remain in these incubators of change, brainwashing, do not recognize our responsibility to the Lord. Greg, take the last 30 seconds and challenge our listeners to be obedient to what the Lord would have us to do.
I believe when you look at the text where Jesus says about taxation, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, unto the Lord that which is the Lord's, I think we can apply that, and a Christian has a responsibility to be a good citizen. Do not ever abandon your responsibility as a believer to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also, Christian believer, be a good citizen. That causes you, that should cause you to engage the system, to engage it with salt and light that God has blessed you with.
Amen. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.